the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Welcome back to the program. Bill Michael Show on the air. Paul Immig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how are you doing today?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. So, first of all, Jermaine Whitehead no longer with his team. My question is, do you feel that Brian Gutekunst has his arms wrapped around this organization properly?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he said the other week with the Ty Montgomery and HaHa Clinton-Dix trade that he wasn't sending messages. This is sending a message, you know? And what I kind of find surprising about that is, was what Whitehead did stupid? Yeah, it was. It was reactionary. He was the guy that they caught the second guy, which so often happens in the NFL with officiating, is they catch the guy who reacts. I don't know if you looked into some of the analytics. What Whitehead's ejection did, Bill, was force the Packers to have to get away from their preferred packages defensively, especially in the dime. And so from a personnel perspective, they didn't have a guy to naturally step in and be able to run the same stuff. So it's not the thing that cost them the game, but it's one of the things that cost them the game. And I think if you are not a top 10 player on this roster and you speak out of turn, you make a costly, stupid mistake like Whitehead, whether he should have been ejected or not is, I think, certainly its own conversation. But if you're going to do something stupid that's going to cost this team, or you're going to speak out of school and you're not a top 10 player, I mean, if it was a top 10 player, Bill, they'd say, you know, let's brush it aside. Let's move past it. If you're not, you're gone. And I think that message is being sent loud. If it wasn't sent with Clinton-Dix and Montgomery, it was sent with Whitehead. And it's very much a, you know, ship up or shape out. So I said that wrong, but, you know, shape up or ship out type of thing. And I think that message is going to be received pretty loud and clear after Whitehead getting, you know, getting released pretty much unceremoniously the next day.
So moving forward, let me ask you this, because we had somebody say, well, you know, he's doing the job that Mike McCarthy should have done, and that's the reason Aaron Rodgers is speaking up, is because of the discipline and this team needs it. And, you know, how do we know Mike McCarthy didn't go to Brian Gutekunst and say, hey, this guy, man, he doesn't got it? I mean, even though we're sitting here, you know, listening, Joe had it earlier that, you know, Jermaine Whitehead was a guy that really understood Pettine's system as one of the better players. How do we know that this isn't one of the Mike McCarthy going to Brian Gutekunst to say, you got to get rid of this cat?
Well, you know what I think would be a fascinating update? You know what I haven't heard about, Bill, in about 3 months is these weekly meetings that were supposed to take place between Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, and Mike McCarthy. Have you heard anything about that in the last 3 months?
No, not a word.
And I bring that up because, to your point, maybe it was Mike McCarthy. Maybe it was Mark Murphy, because if these meetings are taking place as Mark Murphy said they were going to on a weekly basis, these are probably the things that are being discussed. I don't know if it's McCarthy bringing it up, Gutekunst bringing it up, Mark Murphy bringing it up, or if it's just Gutekunst unilaterally saying, I'm the GM and I'm releasing this guy. We don't know the answer to that. So yes, I think it's very fair to wonder. Now, under a normal power structure, this would never be a question. It would be the GM's responsibility to do that. But, you know, if these weekly three-headed person meetings are taking place like Mark Murphy said they were going to, then maybe it is a group decision. You know, maybe it's a, okay, everyone, show of hands, cut Whitehead, two votes to one, okay, we cut Whitehead. That could be what's going on, Bill, and I think that's probably, you know, something that we'll find out sooner than later from Mark Murphy or from Brian Gutekunst, but I think that's the next question in this whole thing, especially when decisions like this are being made on back-to-back weeks from guys that are, you know, either stepping out of line or speaking out of school.
I'm reading today an article on the Packers about some of the things that are changing at the halfway point here of the season, and that the Packers, are they, quote, packing it in? See, I don't think you could ever say that the Packers are, quote, packing it in. I don't think that's happening. I do think the Packers are in transition right now, but I think, as much as I wanted to say, and I still believe that this game that just took place in New England was a big game, because that sets into motion a lot of different things, because now you haven't won on the road. You haven't been able to beat a team that's really 500 or better consistently. And one of the best teams that's out there, you couldn't hang with, and you made mistakes. And some of the same mistakes continue to happen. So my question then becomes, what happens if, say, they win the next two games but lose to Minnesota? I mean, is there this false hope that maybe they can get to the postseason, or is this team – the old adage is you are what your record says you are. Does that mean I believe that the Chicago Bears are a 5-3 team? Well, they got a pretty good defense, but are the Packers really this 3-4-1 team in your eyes?
Yes, Bill. I mean, I think they are. I think we knew when the schedule came out that they would have to get fat early in the season. They would have to load up on wins against Washington and San Francisco and Buffalo and Detroit and Chicago. You know, 5-1 was probably a very realistic thought process for this team before the season started, because then you knew coming out of the bye, you were going to get 4 out of 5 on the road. Back-to-back road games against, you know, two of the better teams in the league, especially going coast-to-coast, Rams to Patriots. Bill, I'm watching a team that I think is very much a 3-4-1 type team. And I think I would give you a specific point on that. And I know you've talked a lot about, in recent weeks, their struggles once they get to the 30-yard line, the 35-yard line, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I saw some statistics today from The Athletic that I'm not sure if you saw these. This is where the Packers rank in the NFL inside the 30-yard line, okay? Third down conversion, 17th. Touchdown efficiency, 20th. Inside the 30 completion percentage, last.
Right.
32nd. When they get inside the 30, Bill, there is not a team in the league with a worse completion percentage on their passing plays than the Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Packers. So you can't be that bad inside the 30 and expect to be better than 3-4-1. Yeah, I mean, a play here or a play there, of course, they could be better. But, when the offense is your calling card, when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, and you have those type of numbers when you get to the 30, you're going to lose. You're right. Not going to beat the Patriots or the Rams. You're going to lose to the Lions. You're going to lose to Washington, teams that you shouldn't lose to even on the road. So, to sum it, I would say, yes, I think this is a team that, with the talent they have, and I do believe they have talent, and is Aaron Rodgers playing like Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers? No, but he's still better than 26 starting quarterbacks on an every week basis with his eyes closed. Maybe he's the sixth best or eighth best or whatever, but like, there's still a whole lot of teams who would trade their quarterback in a heartbeat for it to have even a hobbled Rodgers this Sunday for one game. They have to correct a lot of that stuff offensively, especially those numbers inside the 30, if they have any chance of turning the season around.
That's just it. Do you believe they have a shot at really turning the season around?
I do, Bill. I do, but it kind of goes back to what I said 2 weeks ago coming out of the bye. That's more based on blind faith and optimism that Aaron Rodgers is better than this, that Mike McCarthy is better than this. So they're not playing better than 3-4-1. But I do somehow think, and maybe it's blind optimism, whatever, that they should be. And so from that perspective, I'm not willing to say it's impossible, because it's not. The 4-6 Packers of 2 years ago seemed like it was impossible, and then it wasn't. So, but there's nothing I've actually seen watching them this year that would indicate they can turn around. You just have to almost rely on history to give you that optimism, or just the fact of, well, it's Aaron Rodgers and he'll figure it out. And those are pretty much, I think, the only things you can fall back on. And other than that, I think you're probably lying to yourself. So it's not all lost, Bill. It could be turned around, but there's a lot of work to do if that's going to happen.
See, I completely agree. I think they can. I'm not saying they can't, but I think there's a ton of work to get done. Look, some people are saying, and I can kind of be sold on this, that, hey, they were a couple of plays away from beating the Rams. They were a fumble and maybe a mistake away from even staying with or beating the New England Patriots. But they make the same mistakes. We see the clock management be poor at times. We see the offense, you can't really figure out why the personnel groupings are what they are at times. You see some things that they repeat the same mistakes, and the old adage is if you try to do the same thing over and over again and it doesn't work, it's going to make you crazy. I see the same thing sometimes out of Mike McCarthy. So I don't know how far away they are. I want to believe that they're closer to being better than they are being worse. But I don't know if this season has change in it. You know what I mean? I just don't know if they have it in them to be able to say, okay, I can get this done.
Yeah, I would just quick summarize at the end of that, Bill, and I would say if you were not allowed to draw upon recent history as a reason for them turning around, and you were forced to only rely on game film, you would say the Packers have no chance. That is what the game film shows, that this is not a serious NFC contender. That's what the film shows. I think the only calling card, the only thing that you can lean back on is recent history and the idea that Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. But he's not been Aaron Rodgers this year, and you know what I mean by that? Like, he's not been historically all-time great Aaron Rodgers this year. And it's a fascinating debate because nothing they have showed through eight games would indicate anything other than a 7-8-1 type of season. And that's going to get Mike McCarthy fired. And that's just not good enough for a team that I think, well, A, has Aaron Rodgers, and B, I believe, I know some people disagree with me, has some pretty doubt. Is the middle of their roster weak? Yes. Is the back end of their roster probably a little bit weak? Yes. But I think there's too many good players on this team for them to finish that type of year. And I'm sure a 7-8-1 type of non-playoff season, I think everyone agrees that would cost McCarthy his job.
Paul, good stuff. We will chat again soon, okay?
All right, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you later. There you go, Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You are a car, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.